Hi, welcome to Section. Slightly sparsely populated, I guess. N-Puzzle is keeping everybody pretty busy. I'm going to mostly cover... Oh, my name's Philip Haynes. I'm one of the TFs. I'm going to mostly be covering the... basically a little bit more of SQLite and SQL and database interfaces, plus just basically show a more fleshed out sample chunk of code that uses that, that I extracted from some other project I was working on. So it may completely work, it may mostly work. We'll see. I'll make sure that I save a bit of time at the very end for questions, because I know that everyone's suffering through the project, but I'd really recommend office hours, actually, simply because that's a little better for that sort of thing, unless you really think it's going to be applicable to everybody, and it's a pretty simple sort of easily answered question rather than my code doesn't work. That said, let's get started because time's a-fleetin' and office hours are coming. So my first... I figured that the entire next project is going to be your project and almost certainly will want some database access. So... this seems useful. My example is a pretty simplistic sort of high score table thing. So it's just one table in the database. I'm not doing anything terribly involved with that. Odds are you won't need to either, or if you do, it's more of the exception than the rule on this scale of projects. But I figured at least Dan had asked me to go a little further into it, into the database side of things. So interrupt me as I'm going along if there are any questions related to what I'm showing. Otherwise, save N-Puzzle stuff for after or office hours after if we've got time. And office hours tonight and tomorrow, make use of them. I know that the workload can be pretty intense. So what I've created is something called Lame Game. It's Lame Game because it's a game where you tell me who you are, you tell me the ID of the game, say it's a puzzle or something like that, and you tell me what your score was. So it's not the most exciting game because all it really exists for is to display high score tables. So for example, I don't know, game ID 9, Philip, I think I've already got one in there, but probably not for game ID 99. And I got 544 points, right? Win. This is a really easy game. Bam. Okay. And I got a new high score for game ID 99. That's great. So, for example, if someone else comes along... Nope. Can't do that. Someone else came along and only had, 50 points... they'd win, and the idea is it saves your high score so you can see how you're doing, but it just saved your high score. You didn't beat everybody in this case. And we can see all of the scores. Right now, this is showing only the scores for game ID 99, and pardon the ugly layout, because that was thrown together very quickly. The columns are kind of a mess, but these are all the scores that have ever been entered for game ID 99. It keeps track of when they were scored, shows them in order, and who had them. As a special case, again, hardly good UI, but if the game ID is blank or isn't a number, it will in fact show you all scores that it knows, which really at this point is only a page of screens worth, but it would scroll. It's a simple list view. So, as I say, I basically pulled what I'm going to show you from some high score code of something that I had been working on quite a while ago. I will share the code as soon as I can get access to where it gets posted. I would not necessarily recommend using it for your own projects, although please take it as a decent example, I think. I mean, it's very much how I would write it, or at least would have written it a number of months ago when I was slightly more of a beginner. I haven't really rewritten it since then. Plus, I'll know if you stole it verbatim. I suppose things that are presented in lectures and stuff like that are fair game, so it's more of a at least give credit and don't necessarily trust it. So, it's a pretty boring app from that standpoint. However, so I'm going to zoom into that as necessary, but in general, you can read that for an overview, I hope. If anybody can't, let me know. As I talk about specific things, I will do things like that. And so it should show up for the camera pretty nicely, too. And, of course, Magic Eclipse takes over. All right, so first fairly simple item just to make sure there's nothing fancy going on here. I created a class just to encapsulate a high score entry. All it has is a user. I guess I'll do this. It just has a user, a date, a score, and the game ID to keep track of. You construct it with a constructor, giving it all four. It also supports set and get, but there's really nothing terribly interesting about this class. It just does this. It has a two-string so that for if you're stepping through things in a debugger, it's very nice to actually just be able to see in one lump what is this thing. That's something I'm actually thinking of giving one of those seminar dealies about Eclipse and how to make life a little bit easier when you're developing stuff in it, because I find there are a lot of things that make life simpler. But that's the this is the data entity that we're going to store in the database. So, the game itself has... there's really nothing terribly exciting to look at. Okay, I create a... the same way that Dan did his. We'll sort of see it. There's the all of the magic happens in this high score data helper class, which anybody who wants to interact with it instantiates and can save things to it, load things from it. I think he had called it DB accessor maybe in the sample code. So for example, we have the submit button here. It's labeled win. All it does on click, it submits score. So we'll head there just to see how the interface is here. It tries to build a high score entry. There's just a try catch around this because if you typed in gibberish for the score or for the game ID, it'll just blow up and tell you, I'm sorry, you know, bad input. I don't like what you typed. Otherwise, it creates an entry. It will... Oh, so it does a few things that are really not strictly database related, except they demonstrate some of it. It wants to check whether it should say, congratulations, you've got a new grand high score, you've beaten everyone else. So it asks the high score accessor to get all of the scores for that game ID. Walks through the scores and tries to find out what the highest one is. Really not. I just sort of threw this in so that I would have an excuse to show get by game ID. If you've actually beaten the highest score there is, I give you the little toast saying congratulations. If not, I give you a little toast saying bad input, which is not what it should have been. This should actually be I forget what it is. Saving. Quickly fixed. Okay. And then, again, mostly to use all of the methods that I created in high score, in the high score database accessor, we check whether there's already an entry for you and that game ID. So if you've already played that version and you already have a high score and you've just beaten it, I don't want to put in another high score entry for you for that game. I will actually replace it. So I update it if that entry already exists. Otherwise, I'll insert it from scratch. This could be hidden by this utility class. I like to know which one I'm doing, though, because it is sort of an SQL feature thing that you can't insert something that already exists. But that's all the code that really happens in here. Yes, question. Yes, that's going to be strictly local to the phone.
What would be the best way to have a centralized database that all people with this application would interact with? Sync up as they got new high scores or whatever.
So if you wanted to have a centralized database instead of just one that only keeps the high scores on the phone, I would recommend not dealing with MySQL at all, although if you're playing it on the T, it's... You're disconnected, so how do you submit the high score?
Right.
You do want to have a local version of it as well. What I've done, I'm not sure it's the best approach, is I've actually abstracted away in a real one that I've done, an interface that still has update, insert, already exists, that kind of thing. But instead of shunting it off to a MySQL, it shunts it off to a web interface somewhere, so just some restful thing. But as far as the main code is concerned, you can basically treat it the same way. You just end up with a database on a website somewhere. I have to admit that I'm not totally sold on keeping it that transparent, because you still have to keep your local database in sync with the one out there. But in principle, that's the direction I'm thinking of doing it in. I actually believe that if you're doing this seriously, there are third-party libraries that more or less let you, for high scores and things like that, let you basically use their entire social network high-scorey web interface to store your stuff. Pull it out. I don't know if there's a licensing fee or what the deal is. I'm sure they get something out of it, but that lets you not have to think about it anymore. I have no experience with it though. So the high score. Oh, what's probably still worth looking at is the entire list here. Again, I've tried to keep it reasonably simple. But of course, it got really large because list activity requires a lot of stuff to implement. Let me see if there's anything actually worth looking at in here. Runnable contact. Oh, right. I'll let you delete it. So there's a context. On long click, there's a context menu that right now only has delete, again, mostly to exercise the fact that there's a delete feature in the database. Other than that, and it knows how to pull both anything and a specific game ID. All that uses is... same sort of thing here, get by game ID with the game ID, or possibly -1 for show me everything. But the list itself is not interesting in the context of this. High score data helper is where it's all happening. I'll prefix this by some of these things that you see are just my habit. I happen to think they're a pretty good idea, but you'll see plenty of examples of other ways of doing this out on the internet and probably even from other TFs. Did you have a question?
Yeah. You were showing us your already exists routine.
Mm-hmm.
Or you were showing us the calling to it.
Yep.
And then you mentioned that it won't let you insert something that already exists. Well, you were just checking the ID of the person's name, not the entire
right.
Columns, right?
So already exists. You can specify indexes and uniqueness and I really haven't dealt with it too much. Just like the question earlier about, is there a way of relating tables? You can relate them in the sense that you can create, you know, you can do select statements that join things. Can you create views? I don't think so. So there are a lot of these things that are subtly a little bit less smart than in other database systems, you know, other SQLs.
So if you
SQLs.
Wanted to make sure that the, you know, an ID was unique, you would have to do a proper method. It wouldn't, you know, you couldn't specify that when you're creating your particular database.
You can make unique IDs. I'm just really not, I've never had to. His auto-increment, for example, I believe enforces a uniqueness. Does anybody have experience with this on SQLite specifically? Because I have to say that I'm relatively new to it as well. Mostly haven't been, you know, like when he was explaining the whole rules about affinities, I know that all I would recommend is if something weird starts happening, look up those affinity tables and figure out why, because that's the only solution I have. It baffles me every time I see it. I'm sure there are people who completely understand why it's doing that. I'm not one of them. but it will enforce uniqueness of specific rows. So it'll die if I try to insert something that's already there, certainly across the entire thing. My database here doesn't have any constraints like that. So in fact, I'm probably unnecessarily finicky about it when it's not really enforcing it. In part, I'd... You can definitely set not... You can say not null. You can say, as I say, I'm pretty sure there's a unique...
No, I'm not saying catching it in the code. You can catch all this stuff in the code, but is there... I'm talking specifically about SQLite.
Yes, yeah. You can create them with specifying that they not be null. I'm pretty sure that was in the example that he did show. If not, yes. That one I'm quite confident of. So my habit tends to be lots of static final strings to define all of the stuff that I'm doing, just so that I only have to define it once and I don't have to worry about mistyping score in one of the 17 different places. This way, it will give me a compile error, or Eclipse will just help me. If I type key underscore scar, it won't like it. I won't have to fuss with the strings here again. It does make a slight amount of mess when you're building the creation string for the table, for example, but create table, name of the high score table, with a user that's text, the score thing that's an integer. In fact, I suppose you could even pull the text, an integer, and date time out, but I haven't. So I just set up all of the types of queries or types of commands that I need. There's the creation of the high score table. I tend to use for modification things. I've been, through years of other environments, I guess, very used to creating a statement and then binding variables to that. That's especially useful if you're doing things a lot of times, so you're not building lots of strings, one each time and throwing it away again. We'll see later on that, for example, this insert statement, which really is just what he was showing before, insert into the table, the key, you know, the user, the date, the score with these placeholders. You can compile this string once, it just becomes this variable here, and then you can execute it any number of times. Again, for an example like this, it's probably overkill, but it's a good habit to get into in general, because it will certainly execute faster if you're having to do a lot of these things. Updates are much the same. Deletes, again, this is all just this setup stuff, so I can go through the specifics a little bit if that hasn't more or less been covered by what he had already said. Yes? Yes, the question marks will handle, they're basically there so that you don't have to worry about escaping your data. because they are just placeholders in the statement, which, okay, so we've gotten down there. So there's the delete thing, a string that sort of represents the delete, down here then gets compiled into the delete statement variable, and that is permanently, that's it. It's a compiled statement. You can throw as many different pieces of data at it as many times as you'd like, and you don't have to worry about any kind of escaping. So yeah, that's why I prefer these as much as possible. Anytime you see the question marks, instead of just building a big string that is a query or an update statement. That's absolutely, that's one of my first levels of paranoia, is I don't want to have to escape any of this stuff, so I use these. High score data helper. So once you get this database object, then you can compile a statement. I just set them all up here to compile. I've only done insert, update, and delete. The select query style statements are done differently. I don't know if they're, I don't think they make as much sense to compile, actually. I don't know if you can. I don't. Again, some of this is just habit because I do a lot of copy and paste from previous projects. So if that's how I did it some time ago when I had really thought it through, that's how I'll continue to do it. My particular implementation here always has two versions of each of these methods. A little annoying. So there's one that takes an entry in each case. I'll point at the one down here since it's easier for me to reach. So I can update a high score entry. And that really just calls the update method that really does the work, which in this case actually takes all of the elements of update. And insert does too. But for example, if I'll scroll down to delete, you'll see that while delete also takes an entry, it only calls the real delete code really only needs two items, right? It doesn't care what score you had on that game. If for some reason you're deleting it, all it needs to reliably identify it, going back to the ID, the unique IDs and things like this. In this case, I have just determined that user and game ID are what I will identify the thing by, and that's all that the delete method that really does the actual work with the statement requires. I'm going to skip this for now so that we can go down to the equivalence here. So, insertion. This is a little long. Well, not too bad. So this is what happens then on when I do the, when it does the real work. This insert statement always exists, and I basically just bind, and this says, for question mark one, put in the variable name. Escaped, safely, done, whatever you need. For question mark two, put in the date. For question mark three, put in the score, and so on. You can bind, and like a lot of other things, these come in every flavor of primitive types, basically, or in the case of string, not primitive types. But the basic idea, the things that you deal with on a fairly low level, you bind to each placeholder, and then you just execute it. Insert is a little bit special in that it actually has a return value. In case you care, it actually gives you a row ID. That definitely is unique. I've never used it because it's not something that I've cared about, but if you're trying to, it certainly helps if you're going to create a row and then reference it immediately via something else. In a lot of cases, for example, you'll be able to delete the thing you just created right off the bat, and it's easy to do it by an ID. This code doesn't exercise anything like that, but if you're reasonably experienced with building SQL code and the stuff that wraps around it, you'll probably find that meaningful. If not, I don't think you'll need it for your projects. The same thing happens for update, with all four, bind them, execute. In this case, it's just a simple execute, so it doesn't return anything because it updates. If it fails, I believe if it fails, it throws. I should probably be checking that here, but I'm not. Let's see. It doesn't say. Oh, yeah. Throws SQL exception if the SQL string is invalid. So apparently an actual failure to update may not have a problem. It may insert. I'm really not sure how SQLite works in that respect. I think it probably tries to be really nice to you. I know I've seen some systems that do that. I don't trust it. So wouldn't do that. Delete, we've seen. Bind the two things that we care about to the question marks that were inserted earlier. Takes care of things. I have a delete all that the code doesn't actually call, but it's nice just to mop up if you wanted to put in a button that says, you know what, I don't care, start me over. In which case, delete on its own is a convenience method that the database just offers you. So I can wipe out the table. I could delete a subset of things, and I forget what the last one is. Oh, where clause and where arguments. Yeah, that makes sense. They come in pairs. To go from that to the more query-oriented ones, already exists. We'll find we still use the question mark placeholders, but the structure is a little bit different. You'll recognize it from some of Dan's sample code again. Where'd it go? Okay. The query takes what table, an array of what columns I want back. In this case, if I'm checking to see if something already exists, again, I'm only checking against user and game ID. And here, a separate unique ID wouldn't do anything for me because I have to really match it against what they typed in. And I'm testing where the user is placeholder, game ID is other placeholder, and the parameters which I constructed up here from the user, and that got cut off, but it's the game ID of the entry as well. So again, I don't have to worry about what name they gave themselves. I get a query, and in this case, I just check, did I get more than zero results? If I didn't, then it's one of those reverse things. If I got more than zero results, it already exists. It should just be one because all the rest of the logic tries to enforce that, but I'm not going to count on there not being two. As far as I'm concerned, if I got more than zero answers, it's great. It already exists, and that's the answer to my question. Cursors need to be closed. Extra sort of paranoia code if it's not already null for some horrible reason. And it's not already closed, we close it and return true or false. Yeah?
Shouldn't be checking for the cursor on the before line 97?
Line 97. I should probably be checking for this cursor here because, as I was already puzzling myself, is why would this, you know, how would I get this far if for some reason I didn't get this? So yes, in principle, there's a level of paranoia that I don't even think this is necessarily justified. If for some reason you created a query and you didn't get a good cursor back, yeah, you'd probably want to test here. If it fails, you'd return false. I mean, it's a pretty bad failure in this case. If for some reason I couldn't execute this query at all, I could return either true or false to the calling code. It'll just fail a little later. I'm not sure in that scenario, you know, that's a pretty brutal failure. This is really just, again, if you assume that this succeeds, then just close the cursor. I think this is from a trimmed down loop, actually, that we may see in the other chunk of code. I'm not sure. because the more involved one is get by game ID. So here I've got a little bit more going on, and I don't think it's too complicated, but it might be because it's kind of a mess from where I'm looking at it now when it's zoomed in this far. All I want to know is all of the high scores based on a game ID. I've got a special case of all games that can be passed in. Happens to be -1, but whatever it is. If so, I clear out the condition and the parameters. So normally I would say, where game ID is ?, and ?, params gets filled in with the actual game ID. In this case, where game ID is considered all games, I basically just do null for both, which means the query will give me back everything. And this is much the same as the previous one, except I have to iterate over the items from the cursor instead of just saying, did I get anything back? So again, I'm pulling from the high score table. This time I want everything back. I want the user, the date, the score, and the game ID. I pass in the condition, which is either null if I want everything, and the params, also null in that case, or specifically, as we see near the top, game ID equals ?, and the actual game ID passed. Null, null, and here, this got a little bit long, I guess, but the final parameter to query is the ordering, so that I'll see it in order of game ID and score, because I'm showing multiple high scores, right? If yours is higher than mine, you should show up above mine. This cursor move to first is an easy way of checking whether or not I have one to hit. So this loop, this construct here is really the way to, is a pretty standard way to iterate over an entire set of results. You check whether there's anything there. If there is, you know the first one's safe, and you can just loop here on the move to next until move to next fails. And I add to my list, which is constructed way up there, just an array list of high score entries, entry from cursor, which I will show you, but it's not, well, yes, it's worth seeing. But I create an entry for each line that I get back from the database and stuff it in the list. Again, test whether the cursor is null, which would have been pretty bad earlier already if it was, and I return the list that was created. Here's entry from cursor, again, a little dense, but the simple constructor call for high score entry with a very safe way of checking for the actual user key. So getString actually wants a column index. All of these things you're pulling out really index the results by column number. So I try and find out what the column index of the user key is, and then pull a string from there. This is somewhat, again, this is a little too general purpose, because I know I asked for them in a specific order. But you could call this from a result set that had 17 columns, and it would still work. And so this is where kind of habits from larger scale projects, I guess, get a little unnecessary. But I happen to think it's a nice safe way of just, you've encapsulated this. If you have a cursor that has all of these four things in it, no matter where they are, you'll be able to use it. It just pulls the right string, it pulls the right date, pulls the right double, it pulls the right long, and creates a high score entry to add to that list. Is any of this helpful, meaningful to? Okay, good. Nods. I like that. I will assume that the non-nods will, watch the video later and look at some of the source code, and it'll make more sense. I do hope so. I realized when I was putting this together that it's a lot of code, because if I had written it from scratch, it would have been smaller. But since I was trying to extract something that already worked, it brought a lot more junk along with it than was absolutely necessary to demonstrate the concepts. And this whole area is stuff we've already seen. I don't do anything fancy there. In particular, I just wipe the database out if there's some sort of change in the version number. Again, this kind of thing is where writing one application and one version of it is relatively simple. As soon as you have to update something, you're generating a huge amount more work for yourself, and that's just the reality of a longer-lived project. So it's one benefit for class projects is they really only have to be written once and then both not maintained and not necessarily updated and have features added, although that's a really good exercise if you want to know how well you plan your project. Try adding a feature later on. You will learn that no amount of comments is as good as very clearly named things, among other things. What else? Is there anything about specifically the MySQL kind of things, and I said it again, SQLite, that you would like to know that I may be able to answer, or some of the interactions that I chose to do that are different from what you would expect? Anything along those lines? Yep.
Can the database be stored on the storage card?
The database can be stored on the storage card if you ask for permission to modify the storage card. That's, as Dan was saying earlier, there are a lot of different things that you have to ask permission for when the application is installed for you to be able to do them, like internet access. Storage card access is one of them as well. One of the things I definitely have seen done, and I think it'll probably come up in the iOS project, at least by description, since it hasn't come up for Android, is that very often you'll want a seed database. You want something already there, even if it's just in a lot of cases, when you create a new app, you actually want some data already, just to get things started, even if the data is something minimal. What tends to happen is you ship a minimal SQLite database with the application, which has to be in the APK, so it lives in the system memory. But then the first thing that happens is, upon first startup, it looks on the storage card, says, "Ooh, I've not been here before," copies that very baseline database out there, and then always refers to that. Yes. So any application can, if it asks permission and is allowed to, can write to the storage card, and that includes databases. You just, I didn't really address that here. At the moment, the database name here is just this, and so it assumes that it's in the normal place to look. But if you tell it to look somewhere else, or if there's some code that copied it somewhere else and then you expect it to be there, that'll work just fine. Yep. So if you're storing, well, not that you necessarily want to store giant audio files in your database, but things that are going to be bigger or things that you want to be able to back up off the storage card, yeah, absolutely. Anything else related to that? Since I pulled a bunch of other not strictly database-related code into this just to demonstrate it, there are other examples of how I happen to write code at the moment, and probably not worth asking questions about right now, but I think that as a sample app, it might be interesting to go over. I thought about trying to point out other things, but I don't think it's worthwhile. I think that's easier if you look at it. Send me an email if you've got some confusion about what's going on. I know that there were a handful of things that I discovered just putting this together that caught me out with updating, loading dialogues and stuff like that I was leaking dialogues. I had no idea until I rotated it a few times and the whole thing crashed. So there are a number of gotchas there. But I think that's probably worth wrapping up, taking a few questions unrelated, and probably handing most unrelated questions off to office hours, which start in 3 minutes. So anything else anybody would like to puzzle me about before I join everyone at office hours, probably? Well, okay. Did you? No? All right. Thanks very much for coming, and I hope this helps for your next project. You sure shouldn't be using this for end puzzle. All right. Thank you.